to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hello, beautiful TDB community. Welcome. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to the Divine Breadcrumb.
Today we are talking with Michelle Wax. Michelle is a speaker, an author, a three-time entrepreneur, a documentary filmmaker, an expert on positive mindset, and an all-around badass, as far as I'm concerned. Michelle is on a mission filming a documentary centering around a subject near and dear to our hearts, and that is happiness. Lots of fun stuff to talk about, so let's get to it. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat.
We're so excited to have you. Can't get better than talking about happiness.
Definitely.
Exactly. So before we really jump in, tell us a little bit about your history. I read that you and your brothers raked in the dough with your lemonade stands. Is that when your entrepreneurial spirit was sparked?
Yes. So every springtime in the 90s, my brothers and I would have a lemonade stand, a very typical entrepreneur story. And along with that lemonade, we would sell cookies that we'd, you know, wake up early, we'd bake them with our mom. And for some reason, she would only let us sell them for 25 cents. So we baked them. We still wanted to, you know, make money off of it. So we baked them fairly small and we called them 2-bite cookies. And they were just like those really fresh from the oven Toll House cookies that you would have as a kid. You know, they're just so, so good. And so, yeah, we'd set up at the end of our street. We'd sell the cookies and the lemonade. And that was really the first entrepreneurial experience. And I'd always been, you know, interested in entrepreneurship, had always wanted to start my own company. And after college, I was working at a startup in Boston. And that just in the back of my mind, I had always thought, okay, I'll work until, you know, I'm 35, 40, and then I'll start something. And I just, it kept pushing at me. And I was like, you know what, I'll start on the side and see if I can make it work. And so, yeah, just started selling at, you know, local farmers markets and online, and now have grown it over the past 4 years to us being the premier cookie catering company in the Boston area, and have done a few other things since then. So yeah, it's been quite the journey.
So that's Millie's Kitchen. Millie, named after your grandmother?
Yeah, Kitchen Millie.
Millie, sorry, yes.
Yeah, so yeah, my grandmother's name was Millie, but it's funny. Some people, you know, think that's my name, but it kind of, I just go along with it sometimes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Did you decide to do a cookie business because of the lemonade stand, or do you just have a love of cookies? Why was it a cookie business?
I had always wanted, I'd always been good at making cookies, mm-hmm. and I really wanted to start a company. And I never really had this strong like obsession or passion that everyone always talks about. So I figured, you know, I'm good at making cookies. I like doing it. I want to start a business. And I just kind of launched into it. And I originally, when I was starting my, I was talking with my brother, who's also an entrepreneur, and he, I was thinking about kind of doing a more generic bakery with a lot of different products. And he mm-hmm. told me, he was like, Michelle, think about the best companies, you know, they do one thing and they do it just really, really well. So, I'm all about simplifying things and making things very streamlined. So decided to just run with the cookies. And now what we do is we pair, it sounds a little ridiculous, but we pair different items with the cookies for cookie experiences. So we go into corporate offices, we do weddings, bulk events, and we'll do like beer and cookie pairings, or wow. make your own cookie witches with local ice cream. So just kind of doing a little twist on things.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it.
And again, you know, cookies just make everybody happy. So that fits right in.
Right, exactly.
Well, and you know, when I was on the Kitchen Millie site, oh my goodness, the pictures, I just thought, yum, every single one.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's something I got into, because I you know, didn't really have any background in photography or anything like that, but that's something I discovered along the way of building it, was that I really enjoyed the branding component behind it as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, great job, because, yeah, I was salivating, so you did your job.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. We'll just send you guys some.
So often we hear about people that sort of have it all and yet aren't happy. And in one of your videos, you sort of talk about that's where you were at one point. Can you tell us about the pivotal moment, or as we say, the divine breadcrumb that motivated you to change your life and ultimately led you to your documentary and your speaking tour?
So yeah, I was at a spot about 2 years ago where I pretty much had everything that I had wanted since I was a kid, which was obviously amazing. And I'm pretty young. I'm 26 years old, and I had reached this point of like, I was, you know, I have great friends, great family. I had like the material things I wanted. I had the business and everything was going well, but I felt, I constantly kind of was looking at my life and, I should be doing more and I should like be having, basically, my entire life, I've been sold that if you reach your dreams, right, then you'll be happy. And I was there, which was amazing. And I was appreciative of it. But there was just something inside me that I like just didn't understand why I was feeling this way. And I felt very guilty about it, of course, because I knew I had so many amazing things in my life. And I really wanted to understand it. So I started, I signed up for this random course that wasn't even related to mindset or happiness or anything like that. But the first, it was more focused on sales, but the first week we discussed the term mindset, which I'd never heard before. And basically they were talking about how if you want to operate at a certain level in your life, you want to be a certain type of person, you really have to raise your mindset to that level. And that was kind of my first introduction to the self-development, mindset, you know, the psychology behind happiness and how to achieve it. And so I got really into positive content like that, digging into like how our brains are hardwired, the science behind it, because that really interested me. And then I would say the divine breadcrumb for beginning on my latest project with the documentary was about 6 months ago. It was actually the day after 4th of July. And I love America. I love traveling. I love making these videos that I had started doing ever since kind of that introduction to the positive mindset space and happiness. And I had this idea to, you know, go to every state and interview people on what brings them happiness. And at the time I was leasing a car and the lease was going to be up by the time I was planning the trip. So I figured, you know, I'll call the car dealership up. And this was my first lease. I was like, how does this work? Am I going to buy the car? Whatever. So I call them, and the guy at the dealership, the random guy that picks up the phone, he, you know, asked me what I'm going to be using the car for, how many miles I need, things like that. And I tell him, you know, I'm going to be traveling around the country. I just kind of stated that this is what I'm doing now, even though I just had the idea. And it was crazy because this guy, he said, I believe he said when he was 27, he did the same thing. He didn't film a documentary, but he literally went to every state in the United States in this tour. And it was this weird moment where I'm like, how strange is this that I call up the car dealership? I don't even know who this guy is. And it was just a strange connection. So that really gave me the push. I was like, this is just too weird that that it's not meant to be. So,
and that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
It seems to be how it works. Okay. So you decide to do this documentary about happiness, American happiness to be specific. A documentary sounds like a really daunting task. How did you prepare and where are you in the process now?
For the year before I had the idea. So, I would say about a year and a half ago from this date, I started just doing random videos on Instagram for Kitchen Millie, for my other business as well. And I just really enjoyed it. It was something I just loved editing and putting music behind and something that I just got lost in, which I feel like I never really had that with something before. And, you know, everyone's heard the quote of, you know, chase the things that make time stop or you forget to look at your phone. And that's what this was for me, even though it was kind of making these ridiculous videos. And I had the idea and I basically just kind of started to make a list of what I would need. And I've always bootstrapped my companies. I've always been really efficient with funds and kind of scrapping things together. So I had experience in that where I was like, okay, if I figure out like the minimum I need, then I'll be able to figure out what to do from there. So I made a list and then I ended up running a Kickstarter to fund part of the project. And currently where I'm at today is, you know, I'm pretty much ready to go. I'm actually heading out in a week and a half to go to every state. And I have, you know, the equipment. I have interviews lined up across the country. I've been kind of doing a screening process on the phone to chat with people before I meet up with them. And I've just, oh my gosh, I've been chatting with so many amazing people that it's just given me so much more drive to do it and to pursue it. And then I'm also going to be speaking at colleges along the way, sharing the experience and the science behind the hardwiring and happiness and all of that as well.
Wow. Great. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm speechless.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been interesting. I think because I was able to, I have started my two other companies, and obviously there are always difficult times and you get to moments of stress and things like that, but I've developed now with the positive content and everything I listen to and read and all of that, like a very strong mindset where I know I can figure things out. And I'm sure things will go wrong and things like that, but I just have faith in myself that I'll be able to figure it out.
Right. And you're learning the resilience to deal with that when it doesn't work out.
Mm, definitely.
So I'm going to just jump ahead in our list of questions since we've talked about the speaking engagements. How did you go about setting that up and how has that been received? Have you done any of these speaking engagements yet? And how is that going?
Yeah, so it's going really well. The first one, I've spoke on other topics before, but for this particular focus around happiness and mindset and the science behind our brains, my first one was actually last week at Boston College. And I have a bunch of others lined up. I have one on Monday at Providence College, then Bryant. So kind of going throughout the states as I travel. But how I went about obtaining those is when I was in college, I was actually part of an entrepreneurship group. And so I had just an idea. I was like, you know, I might as well reach out to entrepreneurship groups, business groups, women in business groups, at colleges, at areas I'd be in to see if anyone would be interested. And at the time, this is just 2 months after I had the idea. So I didn't really know if people would even respond to me, right? I think I've gotten used to just when people don't respond to me, I don't take offense to it anymore just because of sales and entrepreneurship and all that. So I figured, you know, what's the worst that can happen? People don't respond or they say no. So, but I got a really great response to it and had a lot of people reply. And the first one I did went really, really well. And I remember when I was in the entrepreneurship club, we would have a lot of speakers and they would of course be good, but it was more stories or strategies of like specific areas of business, but not the overall mindset, which I feel like is so important because if you go after everything you want, if you work towards whatever you want, but you get there and you're not happy, I just don't see the point. And that's my whole thing is just making sure you're happy along the way and when you arrive at your goal or your destination.
Great. Yeah, that's a great way to live. So Michelle, you mentioned being hardwired for negativity, which Deb and I are very familiar with, but you also have mentioned that you believe that Americans are generally happy. So could you explain a little bit for our listeners, what does it mean to be hardwired for negativity? And what have you witnessed to cause you to believe that Americans are generally happy?
So the science and the research I did when I got interested in the topic is that the reason we're wired for negativity or for stress or to kind of just always be on looking out for what's wrong instead of what's right is because of how our brains were hardwired when we were created. So, you know, 200,000 years ago, in our primal state, our main priority was, of course, staying alive and finding food and not being attacked by wild animals. And so our brains haven't changed in, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, but most of us don't have to worry about these situations like being attacked by a wild animal. So they come across in different ways. So that's why, you know, it's really easy to get stressed. It's really easy to be looking out for what's missing in your life or what's wrong in your life, because that's just, it's no one's fault. You know, it's just the way your brain is wired. And so what I found is that once you are aware of that, then you're able to train your mind out of it, which is really my focus on my journey here from basically, I really believe that's the purpose of my life, is to educate people on that and show how to get out of that mindset. But what I've discovered for the path of documenting American happiness is that I just don't believe it's being highlighted enough, because basically everyone that I've met in my day-to-day life, of course, people have bad days and bad moments and hard times, but there are so many good people that drive through it and they are happy and they do, you know, they find this happiness in small moments or big moments, whatever it is. And I just really want to capture that and share it, because I just don't see it out there enough. And I think the press and coverage is heavily skewed to negativity and things that are going wrong. Absolutely. When I just have seen daily in my life that there's a lot of things going right. It's just not really being focused on. So that's my goal with it.
Right. And we feel the same way at the Divine Breadcrumb. I mean, part of the reason we did this was just to give people an alternative, to have some good stories. You know, there's beautiful things happening around the world, America and beyond, that, you know, it can really raise the vibration of Absolutely. An individual or community. I mean, that's our hope anyway, because it's all about what you focus on.
Right. I was going to bring up, when you talked about being hardwired for negativity, I don't know if you're familiar with the author Pam Grout at all.
I'm not familiar with the exact book.
She has a book called E Squared. And one of the things she talks about is experiments that you can do, very simple little tests that sort of reinforce for you that the universe is listening and is there for you. And the first one, I believe, is she says to pick a color. When you're heading out on the road and you're going to be in your car, you pick a color of car that you want to see. And the object is to count how many cars you see of that color. And that you will, of course, be surprised that you will have found that many cars that color. And the idea ultimately behind all of that is that you find what you're looking for. So yes. If you are looking for negative things, you find them. But if you are looking for positive things, you find them. And people, I think a lot of people just don't make that shift.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned the car, because that's actually an example I give in the speeches that I'm giving to colleges. And the scientific name is the reticular activating system, and it basically filters your world to what's important Absolutely. To you, what you're focusing on, like the color of the car. So I found this just so interesting, because learning that this reticular activating system is a collection of neurons, and it basically filters your world to what's important to you, what you're focusing on. So basically that it allows you to either see, yeah, like you said, the good in your life mm-hmm. or the bad. And it exists just because it has to, because at any point in time, there's, you know, a million things going on that you could be focusing
right.
on.
And your brain filters, as you said, what's important to you. And we get to control that filter.
And it takes practice. It takes exactly. a lot of practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to shift gears a little bit, you wrote a book called The Attainable Dream, which you describe as a field guide for people wanting to start their own businesses. I love that whatever you do, you're constantly trying to lift others up so that they don't encounter the same struggles that you did. So when writing this book, I mean, can you share some of the struggles you went through?
Of course, yeah. So when I started out, I just kind of jumped into it. And I didn't really know people in the industry that would kind of be a support system. So I went through so many different things. And that's why I wanted to interview, you know, other entrepreneurs to see, you know, is this just me or does everyone go through this? And what I found is that everyone is going through their own struggles. But for me, it was really getting the word out and getting comfortable with putting myself out there, putting the brand out there, and focusing on creating sales. Because I think I just always grown up as it was like an uncomfortable experience, and I had to get past that. There were more tactical things, just like spending money on things that didn't really matter. And I was really working with limited funds. So that was interesting. For me, it was really, there were other things too, like I used the wrong barcodes, but it was kind of getting past my mind that like all these things really affected me at first, because this was my first time, you know, working on a business. I didn't really know what I was doing. I made a lot of mistakes and I really took them to heart. Mm. But getting past it, and at the end of the day, you know, it's not life and death. It is a cookie company, like developing that. And it took years for me to get to that point. But the mindset was the biggest thing for me to really acquire a strong mindset. And then I found once I did that, I could really handle anything that came my way.
Did you ever find that age was a factor? Did people, because you were younger than most business owners, did you struggle at all with people taking you seriously, or was that never an issue? Because talking to you and reading about you, I can't see that it would be an issue, but I also know how there is ageism out there and it works both ways.
Yeah. And I would say, so it was funny because I was working for a tech company when I first started it. And, you know, it's one of those tech companies where, you know, they have millions of dollars of funding and they're focused on, you know, taking over the world. And that's kind of what I was working in day in and day out. And then when I told people I was starting a cookie company, you know, I did get a lot of kind of like condescending attitudes towards it, kind of like, oh, that's cute. Or, oh, is that like, oh, what else do you do? That actually happens now. Even people are like, oh, is that your real job?
We get that too.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it is. And it's amazing. But yeah, it was more condescending of like, I guess, than like ageism. I guess people, they just didn't really think it could be a real company. And that's something that bothered me at first too, but now I am past. But again, that took me years, you know, to be more confident in it and to not take it to heart as much.
Right. And not make excuses. You don't have to explain yourself.
Right. What do you think it is about people, you know, hear what you're doing and hear how excited you are about it, and they just have to kind of crap on it or take you down a peg or be negative about it?
Yeah.
What is that about?
I think it comes back to that default state is that most people are kind of in that searching for the negative or searching for what could go wrong. But what I've also found is that normally people who aren't supportive or who, you know, kind of take that jab when it's not necessary, I found it's kind of to be an insecurity thing in some realm of their life, like personally or professionally. And I don't, you know, I kind of think that's what's going on. And so I don't let it bother me. But I've just found that people that are doing what they want to be doing and they're going after what they truly want, they don't really bring you down like that or try to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So switching gears a little bit, you have a couple of videos on your website. I'm assuming they were originally on Instagram called The Talk Show. Mm-hmm. Is your co-host your dad?
Yes.
I love the way that you guys work together and you just look like you're having so much fun together.
Thank you. It is really fun. I had the idea to do a talk show, and I posted, you know, a poll on Instagram, and so many people replied yes. So I was like, okay. And then my dad has always just had such good perspective and wisdom and gave me a lot of books when I was a teenager that kind of put me on this path. And so I tend to forget that a lot of people didn't have him as a dad. So it'd be helpful for him to kind of share his perspective. And he has a blast doing it, and so do I. So it's been really great.
That's awesome. Yeah, it looks like you guys are having fun. And he has, you know, very insightful comments, you know, obviously years of experience, but it's just fun to watch the two of you together.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Hopefully you'll be doing more of that because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do it every Monday morning, 7:45 a.m. Eastern time. And we do it on Instagram Live, but then we have it playing, you know, 24 hours after, and then I upload it to the site as well.
That's great.
Great. So everybody check that out. Well, Michelle, we'll post all of your contact stuff in our show notes so people can find all this, but definitely worth checking out. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So Michelle, you mentioned that your brother is also an entrepreneur. Are there any other family members that are involved in Kitchen Millie? Do you kind of all work together? Is everybody kind of doing their own thing?
Yeah. So no one else is involved in Kitchen Millie. My younger brother is definitely more of a wild card, I would say. He's kind of the type of entrepreneur where he'll stay up for like 24 hours straight. And he's very into, he does a lot of SEO work, a lot of all very like coding. He's very into that world. But he's mm-hmm. really helped me in a mindset realm and given me a lot of great books and a lot of great things to read. That's been helpful for him.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Not to put you on the spot, but what are some books that you might recommend to some of our listeners that want to sort of get started down this road?
Sure. So I'll name a few of my favorites. I love the book How to Fail at Everything and Still Win Big by Scott Adams. It's a really good book because he talks a lot about, instead of having goals, having systems, because goals are kind of, they can be kind of lofty, but systems, it requires you to put things in place that will actually make you achieve them. So I love that book. It's a good one. It's good because he spans everything from personal things in his life that he wanted to change, like his diet, to work as well. I love The Subtle Art of Not Giving a, I don't know if I can swear on this.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson too. I love that book. It's very counterintuitive. But that has really helped me. I love The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. That I read that book about 2 years ago, and I put systems in place where I could kind of remove myself from the business if I needed to. And then I guess just I try to read this book every year, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I love that one as well.
Yeah, there's some classics that, yeah, they just stand the test of time.
Yeah, and another one my brother loves, he's he gave it to me, you know, years ago, is Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill as well.
Yeah,
so much great,
big one.
Powerful stuff in there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it seems like you just had such a good foundation, strong foundation growing up, you know, really a great springboard for success.
Definitely, definitely.
And yet you're not taking, you know, a route that's, you know, well-traveled, you know, the entrepreneurial route is not easy, and you never know what you're going to come up against. And now you've done it successfully, you know, 3 different times. So going back to the documentary, in the end, what is your hope that this documentary, like how do you want it to impact people? What is your vision for that?
It's interesting because I've been speaking with people on the phone from all across America, and I've interviewed a bunch in Boston as well at this point. And the big thing is that, you know, these people are from all different types of backgrounds. They grew up in all different places. They have so many different types of situations, of course. But the one thing that's come across as this general theme is how you're thinking about your life is your life. And that's really what I want to get across in the documentary, that, you know, outside people, outside material things are really never going to bring you that lasting happiness. It's more of, you know, it's within your brain today. So kind of getting into the science behind that and how people that have gone through really hard things, really unfortunate situations, how they've risen above that. And I really want it to be relatable. So that's why I'm not interviewing, you know, anyone famous or anyone who's really had a ton of success in whoever's eyes, but because I want it to be very relatable. And I feel like a lot of the times what's highlighted is kind of these stories of like someone who had this obsession or this passion and they just, it just drove them. And it of course makes a good story, but I feel like it can be very hard to relate to. So that's why that's my focus on the documentary as well, is to make it relatable and to focus on, the mindset of happiness as well.
Love it.
Yep. I love it too. That's great. So sort of a personal question. And if you want, we can cut this out. Where does your confidence come from? You're very confident for a woman your age.
Thank you. That's one of the best compliments I've ever gotten. I really appreciate that. It's something I've definitely worked on, and actually not many people would think this, but, when I was growing up and even in high school and even in the beginning of college, I was actually very reserved, and I would be very nervous to speak up. And especially in class, if like a teacher called on me, I'd have this panic inside. And and even actually when I started Kitchen Millie, when I was 24, I still felt very unsure. And I think I just kind of had to find a way to project the confidence, because I wanted the business to survive and I wanted to make sales. And the more I did it, and I really think the more I got rejected, the better my confidence got, which doesn't really make sense. But I found that, I think it was like the more I got rejected, it stung at first, but the more it happened and I was able to overcome it and I looked back on what I'd done, that gave me more confidence. And then it kind of trickled out to all areas of my life. And now with, you know, the training I do with my mind and listening to positive content, that's just propelled it even further.
That's great. There's a great, and I unfortunately can't remember who said it, but it's a person that writes a lot about sales, I think. And he talked about how the word no really just means next. You just move on. Next. And I think that, yeah, people do get too wrapped up in no. And it's not personal.
Right. And you get immune to it. I remember, in the early 90s, I was doing some telemarketing at night. This is when my daughter was younger. And I mean, you'd make hundreds of calls and most of them were no's. And you just, at first it was, you know, soul crushing, like for a day maybe. And then after that, you were totally immune to it.
Definitely. And I've found that it's just been helpful, like personally as well, just being confident in my day-to-day life has been powerful. And I feel like, it's something that I strive to be confident in all situations, because I just kind of see myself as this confident person now. So that's, I guess I'm just trying to play into that.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think for people just starting out, sometimes you have to fake it till you feel it. I mean, really, you know, you might be scared to death inside, but if you're, you know, showing yourself as somebody who knows what you're talking about, you know, people will respond to that.
Yeah. And I did a pitch competition. This is actually kind of a funny story. I was invited to this pitch competition kind of last minute. It was all a bunch of tech companies, and it's in the heart of Boston. And I go, and we had, you know, tables that you set up before the pitch just to kind of display the product. And everyone else has like a sleek iPad. And I brought in my farmer's market setup with like wooden crates and cookies. And I felt very, this was back at the start, and I felt very out of place, right? And then what I noticed though was that when people started coming in, they flocked to my table because it was different. And I had this shift in my mindset of like, oh, I can use this to my advantage, you know? And I had cookies, of course, everyone loves trying cookies. And I went on to win best pitch of the night. And inside I'm really, really nervous up there. And I didn't think I really even did that well. And I think because I had practiced it enough and I had some type of, you know, kind of faking it or facing it until I felt confident, it was really powerful. So that was a turning moment for me as well.
I love that, because I think I even see this on social media platforms where there's a lot of slick packaging. And I tend to scroll right past that. That doesn't interest me. What catches my eye is somebody who's more down to earth or doing things differently, authentic. So I totally get it. I love that story.
Right. And I try to, I think the biggest thing too, like you said, it's like being able to relate to something is so important. So that's why I try to do that in whatever I'm working on in business, is to just be, you know, as down to earth as I can be and relatable.
No, and it definitely comes across.
Thank you.
So I realize that the documentary is going to take some time, but are you thinking beyond that yet? It sounds like you just keep having things coming.
Yeah, so I have my platform now. My newest company is called The Wax Life. My last name is Wax. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple different streams going on with that, right? So I have the videos I make that's more for social media and for the site, more for inspiration and kind of knowledge behind that science of how your brain's hardwired, how it's affecting you. And with the documentary from there, I anticipate it's going to take me, I think I'll be traveling till about June and then I'll have to edit and compile and all mm-hmm. that. But I really want to do more speaking as well, because that's just something that makes me feel really alive when I'm in front of people speaking. Right. And I love the topic. And even people that, you know, are close to me or that aren't even that close to me, they've reached out and just said that they absolutely love the content. They love my energy that I've heard. I've heard that specifically multiple times, which is really good to hear. And so I just want to kind of get that out into the world as much as possible through speaking and doing videos and anything visual in that regard.
That's awesome. And you're doing really important work. So I think this is a good place to wrap up. Michelle, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you. This has been amazing.
It was great to talk with you. We wish you amazing success. I think this is such an important message.
Yes, all the luck in the world.
I love your energy. I love your confidence. I think you are the perfect person to just go out there in the world and sort of take this on. I can't wait to see the documentary. Maybe once it's done and it's released, we can have you back and we can chat about the experience, because I think
that would be wonderful.
You are going to see so much on the road, and I can't wait to hear about that trip.
Definitely. Yeah, I would love to. I'm really, really excited.
Awesome. So as I said, everybody, we're going to post all of Michelle's information on in our show notes. And as always, you can hear our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and our own website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for listening. And once again, thanks, Michelle. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.